Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's talk about what's happening in Israel. Air raid sirens continue, and they've sounded again. This time it was in the last time, maybe in Eilat, the Arava, up to the into central Israel. There's interceptions, and that's of course from the Houthi missiles and drones launched from Yemen. Most of these threats have been shot down, though we do know that recently a drone did hit the Ramon airport. Israel has retaliated strikes on the Houthis. We're trying to figure out what is the latest here and what is really going on. We're joined by Jonathan Feldstein, broadcasting from Israel, to unpack what is the latest here and what impact is it having on Israeli civilian life. Jonathan, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. I'm hoping you're well.
Yeah, Howard, I'm going back to my previous usual comment, no worse than most Israelis these days. Mm. But yeah, it's been stressful.
It has been stressful. And I would imagine that coming up for Rosh Hashanah, for the Jewish New Year, adds to that level, because it's a time that we kind of take more seriously. We wonder, we look at what's been, we look at and pray for what's going to come. And that's quite scary.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I did an interview with a radio show in the U.S. yesterday. I'm sorry. I thought you might have thought I was exclusive to you.
I'm actually quite offended by that. What do you mean? I suppose they mean nothing to you.
I know. I've been having interviews with other people.
Wow.
But we discussed this yesterday, and I'm struck on a couple of levels. First of all, yesterday I didn't want to predict that I anticipated a missile attack, but it was inevitable. And then 7 o'clock yesterday evening, it did happen. It was just an hour or two after the interview. But with the holidays coming up, we can't help but wondering whether it's the Houthis, the Iranians, the Qataris, someone's going to do something while we're all gathered together as we were 2 years ago at the end of the holidays to super mess them up. And the other piece is I'm having a personal problem with Rosh Hashanah being just a couple of days away and not being in the spirit of where we're supposed to be. It's just taking a personal toll with my youngest son in his compulsory service, my oldest son who just became a father a few weeks ago, now going into reserves for 2.5 months, my son-in-law being called up at the last minute. And yeah, these missiles, the missiles physically don't stop. And the threats, in fact, both from Qatar this week with all of the Arab and Islamic world gathered, and in the UN coming up, and even with the stupid Eurovision, it just seems like we're getting piled on and on and on. And I'm just having a hard time getting in kind of any spiritual connection with God at the moment.
And what's interesting as well, the Houthis, although there's very little material impact on it, I think it almost just is this constant reminder that Israel is at war. And obviously you don't need it in a family like yours, where you've mentioned three people who are connected directly with this conflict. You don't need that reminder, but for many, this is that constant reminder that this is not a time of peace.
Correct, and it only takes one missile every couple of days. It's not like the initial barrage 2 years ago, 23 months ago from Hamas, or what Hezbollah tried, or the 12-day war with Iran. It only takes one missile or one drone that somewhat successfully gets through for this reminder. And yesterday it was from Jerusalem almost all till Tel Aviv. I don't know how many, 2 million Israelis, 3 million Israelis sent to the bomb shelters. So my youngest grandson is 3.5 weeks old. He's been to the bomb shelter 5, 6, 7 times. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
It is crazy. And there's no, I'm not sure we need recognition around that, but there isn't recognition. And then, you know, going back to what you were referring to with Eurovision, where we have Ireland, Spain, the Netherlands, all saying that, well, if Israel participates under their own flag, then you know they're not going to participate. So this immense pressure to just continue to ostracize Israel. We've got the UN report yesterday by, and of course we know who's leading it. We know Navi Pillay is a notorious anti-Israel advocate and was going to, there's little doubt that she started with the conclusion. I've been through the UN Watch report on it and how it's discredited, which is an incredible piece to read. But all of this, just as you say, piling on, it's got to add the exhaustion to it that people are feeling. The fact that for the Chagim, for the Jewish festivals, a lot of families won't be together because they have children and husbands and grandfathers and whomever not home. That's got to really take its toll, especially after 2 years.
It's taking its toll, and almost 2 years in, with no end in sight. I wish it were rational. I wish it were simple. I wish it were a ground invasion and blowing up the right buildings were simple. Were the panacea to win and get all the hostages back, or somehow there could be some negotiation and get all the hostages back, even if it required pausing the war. And I'm not an advocate for either of those, but neither are concrete solutions, and that also just adds to it. But yet I'm amazed. There's tremendous divisiveness. You know, we're looking at an election next year, whether it's in the spring or whether it's in the fall, that will happen, and there's a lot of political divisiveness. But nevertheless, you've got tens of thousands of reservists who are showing up even during the holidays and doing their job, because whether physically or not, it still is existential. And when you see all the world piling up and the prime minister even saying we have to have our own independent defense ministry to produce the weapons that we need, which is a whole conversation worth analyzing on its own, you realize that, yeah, we're isolated, but despite the divisiveness, despite the no clear solution, Israelis are still coming out to defend,
which is also incredible,
the one country we have.
And in a strange way, the resilience becomes, and the need to stand our ground, and I'm speaking not just for Israelis, but for Jews, for supporters of Israel around the world, when we continue to see this assault, this unjust assault on Jews and on Israel and on Israel's supporters, it does make us more resolute. It absolutely makes us very much more firm and committed to fighting for truth, because that's what this war ultimately boils down to. It's emet and sheker. It's truth and falsehood. That's the war that actually is being fought. So in a way, as negative as the circumstances are, I think that it is causing a shift that is a very, very important one, where those that believe that believe in truth are know they have to stand by their convictions. Your thoughts?
You're right, but I think there are a small percent of us who understand truth, and a larger group, if we were to envision it as a bell curve. The small percent on one end who really understand the truth, the small percent on the other, smallish percent who manipulate the truth, and the vast majority in the middle, and I include Jewish and Christian supporters of Israel, who know that the truth is being manipulated, but also don't know what the truth is. And that's, I think that's probably key to the battle in the future.
Jonathan Felstein, that went very deep and quite heavy, quite fast. But you know what? That is what this is about, having real conversations and trying to decode the world that we are living in. Thank you for doing what you do. Thanks for speaking the truth. And if we don't chat before the Chagim, I wish you and your family a Shana Tova Mtuka and a peaceful year ahead for everybody.
And you and all your listeners, Howard, thank you for always giving me the opportunity, even though I have conversations with other people.
Well, I don't know. I still have to see if we're going to let that one go. Jonathan Felstein, thank you.